This is KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Coming up next, Opera Box.
The KGNU Community Radio app helps you stay in the know with news updates sent directly to your phone and access to programs like The Morning Magazine, BBC World News, Public Affairs, and more. You'll never miss a story. Download the app for free on iOS and Android.
Support comes from Caddis Collaborative, architects who consider community, sustainability, and carbon neutrality at every phase of design and construction. More information at caddispc.com.
Good evening and welcome to Opera Box. My name's Gary McBride and I'll be with you for the next hour. Tonight, excerpts from the opera Tyrfing, sung in Swedish, which was written by Wilhelm Stenhammar back in 1895. Before we get to the synopsis, though, I thought it might be useful to review the 6-part collections of Norse legends that involve Tyrfing, which was the name of a sword imbued with magical powers. A magic sword might remind you of Excalibur, of Arthurian legend, the sword in the stone that blessed its extractor with a kingdom. But this sword is different. Legend has it that a dwarf named Dwergr was forced to forge Tyrfing for Angantyr, the great Viking warrior. The sword with gold ornaments was more deadly than any sword on earth, making its owner invincible. But while Excalibur had good magic, Tyrfing came with this curse. Every time the sword was unsheathed, someone would die. Tonight's opera focuses on just one part of the long Tyrfing cycle, and that is the story of the female Viking warrior, Herfur. Herfur never knew her father, who died before she was born, but she grew up stronger than the boys of her age and showed great skill in archery, horse riding, and swordsmanship. She often dressed like a boy and wore what she wanted without much care what anyone expected from a young woman. When she learns that her father was Angantyr, the berserker, the great Viking warrior, the same Angantyr who forced Dwergr to forge Tyrfing, the magical sword, she decides to follow in his footsteps, and so she visits her father's grave to seek his legendary sword. The ghost of Angantyr appears to Hervor, and he grants her the sword on 2 conditions. 1, that she never reveal her true identity as his daughter, and 2, that she never let anyone know that she's a woman. Let's listen now to the prelude of Act 1, Scene 1 of Tyrfing by Wilhelm Stenhammar. We'll hear the voice of mezzo-soprano Ingrid Tobiasen as Hervor and baritone Jesper Taube as the shepherd. Leif Segerstam conducts the Royal Opera Orchestra, Stockholm.
Thank you. Thank you.
Leif Segerstam conducted the Royal Opera Orchestra Stockholm. We heard the voices of baritone Jesper Tauba and mezzo Ingrid Tobiasen. You're listening to a sampling of Tierfing, the opera by Wilhelm Stenhammer, on Opera Box on KGNU.
Selling an unwanted vehicle can be a hassle, but donating it to KGNU couldn't be easier. Simply provide a clean title, and we'll take care of the pickup and donation receipt. To get started, call 1-844-KGNU-CAR or visit kgnu.org.
Support comes from Sunshine Homeshare Colorado, a nonprofit that matches elders looking to remain in their homes with home seekers looking for affordable housing. Home sharing provides mutually beneficial effects for both the home provider and a home seeker. More at sunshinehomeshare.org.
In Act One, because of her father's admonition that Hervor never let anyone know that she's a woman, she has adopted her alter ego, the warrior Hervadur. At a feast at King Gudmund's castle, the king's daughter, Princess Gulvag, has fallen in love with her brother Vidar's best friend, the warrior Hervadur, who, remember, is of course Hervor disguised as a man. Vidar is happy that his sister has found the love of her life, but at the same time, he's become jealous over his sister's affections for his best friend. We'll hear mezzo-soprano Ingrid Tobiasen as Hervor as she navigates her difficult predicament at the end of Act One. Tierfing by Wilhelm Stenhammer. The voice of mezzo-soprano Ingrid Tobiasen in the role of Hervor, accompanied by the Royal Opera Orchestra Stockholm, Leif Sigurdsson, conducting the final scene of Act I of Tyrfing, the 1895 opera by Wilhelm Stenhammar. You're listening to Opera Box on KGNU. The feast in King Gudmund's castle culminates in a competition where whoever answers three riddles correctly wins the hand of his daughter, Gulvag. Hrvadur answers the riddles correctly, but refuses to accept the prize. The action culminates in a duel because Vidar must defend the honor of his sister. Unfortunately, because of the curse of Tyrfing, Vidar dies by Hrvadur's magic sword. Hrvadur breaks down over Vidar's body, and Gulvag helps him/her escape. We'll hear the final scene of Act Two of Wilhelm Stenhammer's opera Tyrfing. Please.
Thank you.
You're listening to Opera Box on KGNU.
Support comes from Colorado Tech Point, a technology store specializing in sales and repair service of verified pre-owned laptops, computers, and mobile devices. Located at 436 Main Street in downtown Longmont. More information at co-techpoint.com or by calling 303-848-3738.
Now the opera Tyrfing comes to its tragic conclusion with a revelation. After Hervadur killed Gulveig's brother Vidar with the sword Tyrfing, Hervor reveals her true identity to the princess Gulveig. Quote, feminine heartbeat was disguised in male clothing. The woman who gave up her right to be a woman, who became a man, that was me. In her final scene, Hervor again buries Tyrfing in her father's grave, and she dies there, reconciled to her fate. We'll hear the finale of Tyrfing by Wilhelm Stenhammar, the Royal Opera Orchestra Stockholm, conducted by Leif Segerstam.
Thank you.
Hervor buries Turfing in her father's grave, and she dies there, reconciled to her fate. Leif Segerstam conducted the Royal Opera Orchestra Stockholm. We heard the voice of mezzo-soprano Ingrid Tobiasen singing the role of Hervor in Wilhelm Stenhammer's 1895 opera, Turfing. Well, that's our program this evening for excerpts from that wonderful opera based on the legend of the magical Viking sword called Turfing. Here's a fun fact about this evening's heroine, Hervor, J.R.R. Tolkien-based Eowyn from Lord of the Rings on the legend of the female Viking warrior. If you enjoyed this evening's opera, I invite you to stay tuned for Classic Monday up next. After my interview with the conductor Peter Ungen in the second hour, we'll sample the entirety of Wilhelm Stenhammer's Symphony No. 2, composed 20 years after this opera. I'm Gary McBride, and this has been Opera Box on KGNU.
Coverage of breaking news is made possible by KGNU members. One way to help us bring you this coverage is by donating a vehicle you no longer need. Learn more at kgnu.org or call 1-844-KGNU-CAR.
This is KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Coming up next, a Classic Monday.
Support comes from Sunshine Homeshare Colorado, a nonprofit that matches elders looking to remain in their homes with home seekers looking for affordable housing. Home sharing provides mutually beneficial effects for both the home provider and the home seeker. More at sunshinehomeshare.org.
Good evening and welcome to A Classic Monday. My name's Gary McBride, and I'll be with you until 10 p.m. this evening. In the first hour of tonight's program, a special treat. I'll be talking with the artistic director of the Colorado Music Festival, Maestro Peter Ungen. He and I spoke a week and a half ago about the upcoming season of the CMF at the Chautauqua Auditorium here in Boulder, Colorado, starting on July 1 and continuing for 6 weeks until August 7. For details about the CMF's summer season and to order tickets for actual live in-person concerts at Chautauqua and streaming events online, please visit coloradomusicfestival.org. And now, the first part of my conversation with Maestro Peter Ungen. Maestro Peter Ungen, welcome to KGNU.
Thank you very much, Gary.
The first thing I wanted to ask you about, Maestro Ungen, is last year was a very challenging year because of COVID, and you weren't able to have, the Colorado Music Festival was not able to have in-person concerts. As a result, you had these delightful concerts online, and I discovered that you're a much better interviewer than I am because you were able. No, I'm serious about that, because my wife and I had so much fun watching these videos. No, because it was first of all, the music was incredible, and what you were able to do by sort of bringing us into your living room and Sharon Isman's living room and these wonderful interviews that you had really gave us an insight into the inner lives of performers and that we can't get in a live concert at the Chautauqua Auditorium. This year, you're going to be having in-person concerts, but you're also having streaming concerts as well. So first of all, I guess my first question is, that was a very long-winded introduction, but I'd like you to talk a little bit about last year and how the festival was able to cope, and then how you've taken these learnings from 2020 and I'm carrying them forward into this year's series.
Yeah, well, it's funny. Thank you for. I'm so glad you enjoyed those virtual concerts. But and by the way, my interviews with everybody were heavily edited. I mean, if you heard the entire thing, you'd snooze, I think. But you know, that's the nature of what I realized was that it wasn't going to be good enough just to have people send me tapes of them playing, and then I'd say a few things and maybe ask them a couple of questions, because it just looks so sloppy. And if people are told at this time there's going to be a virtual concert, then, you know, you better make sure that it's quality and that there's, you know, there's not a lot of waffling going on. So that's why I did very long interviews with everybody, but edited them very, very carefully to try to make them seem as if that's the way they had originally gone. I mean, the luckiest thing of all, I think, was that Augustin Haderlich, who is our artist in residence this year, is one of the greatest violinists I've ever come across in my entire life. He just moved to Connecticut at the beginning of last summer, so it's sort of the beginning of COVID, really. And he agreed to come to my house with his wife, who was like 3 weeks from giving birth to their first child, and cameras and equipment to record and all this kind of stuff. So it opened the door for me to make this first of a series of virtual concerts with somebody who was magnificent as a violinist, also even agreed to play my piano, which was an extra bonus, and also really easy to interview. Anyway, it just went on from there, and I'm very glad that people enjoyed it. And because of that, there was a kind of question that came quite frequently: would you consider continuing to do some kind of streaming into our living rooms? Because, you know, we live in Germany, or we live in England, or who knows, Sri Lanka. You know, it could be anywhere. And because we had, I don't know how many dozens and dozens of countries that signed in onto the virtual festival. So we decided to do 6 live stream performances this summer. So they'll be straightforward concerts, but we will produce them somewhat. You know, I'll do introductions specially probably for them and that kind of stuff. So we'll see how it goes.